Hey everyone, it's Nico. You may have noticed that there's a bunch of different things about the podcast in the feed right now. It's super exciting. In case you guys haven't heard yet, for the next few weeks or so, the Call to Arms podcast is launching a super special project with Slam Philippines and Titan. Of course, we'd been working together over the past few episodes, but we're really taking it to a whole new level, building up to the next few weeks when Manila becomes the true epicenter of world basketball. So in line with Titan's campaign for the season, in line with Slam's coverage of the upcoming tournament, and with Call to Arms just, you know, being your home for all this great sports talk, we're proud to present to you guys For Love, the podcast on the Call to Arms feed, presented by Slam Philippines and Titan. The first episode that you're going to hear is from the live event. It's from the live podcast recording at the Titan Conrad reopening at Es Maison. We had the great Tim Cohn with us. You're going to hear Miss Carla Lizardo-Sulit, who hosted the event, and then myself and Isaac, who's going to be co-hosting this stretch of the podcast for us over the next few weeks. And then you're going to hear the great Tim Cohn. Every week, myself and Isaac will be at Titan Conrad. We'll announce when. We'll record the podcast there. We'll have special guests every episode. The best, the most interesting, the most exciting guests, from local hoops to international hoops to anyone you could probably think of, anyone you could suggest. So please do let us know. Apologies that the audio quality on this one isn't maybe as crisp or as sharp as you're used to on the pod. That's because it's from a live event. Hopefully we're going to be able to do another live event between now and when this thing closes. Let us know if that's something you want to be part of and you guys want to be in the audience for and ask a couple of questions. Should be fun. I won't keep you guys waiting any longer. Tim Cohn is on the podcast. This is episode one of For Love, the podcast on the Call to Arms feed, brought to you by Slam Philippines and Titan. And this original score, by the way, is an old gift from an old friend, the legend Raymond Marasigan. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, enjoy the episode, folks.
My name is Carla Lizardo-Sulit, and it is my honor to welcome all of you to the reopened Titan Conrad branch here at Es Maison. As part of Titan's For Love campaign, Titan and Slam Philippines are proud to present to you another chapter of this campaign, and one that we will actually see it unfold in front of us live here today at Titan Conrad. I'd like to call on the hosts for Love, the podcast, Titan Senior Brand Director and Slam Editor-in-Chief Nico Ramos, and Gilas Pilipinas alum, UAAP champion and PBA star Isaac Go.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla.
All right. Okay. So we'll set this up.
Thank you very much for being here at Titan Conrad. So again, as mentioned, as part of the celebration this afternoon, we're going to record the first episode of our podcast in front of everyone. So that means if you have any hot takes about Sean Ildefonso, Francis Lopez, Adrian Wong, you have to say it to their face, guys.
Like, oh, si Calvin Oftana natatago na dyan, no? Natatago ni.
There is no hiding behind the screen or anything, but yeah, this is episode number one, so you're seeing it all unfold. But as Carla said, while we're doing this, we encourage everyone, if you guys want to get your portraits taken, feel free to move on over to the barbershop area. If you guys want to get a refill or anything, feel free to do it there. But as we get started, we'll do a few minutes before we bring in our special guest that we're very excited about. But update us on you, Mr. Go. How is Isaac Go, the road to recovery? Where are you in terms of that, and how ready are we to be seeing the 2010s stat lines to come?
I don't think I ever have gotten a 2010 in my career, but it's been good. The recovery was tough, but I'm just happy to be out there on the floor, being back in the competition. And I think the one thing I miss the most is the camaraderie, the guys you see every day, and you know that you're going to go into battle, you're going to play with one another. Yes, you may get sick and tired of one another, seeing each other every day, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Which leads me to the first question and the first thing that people who listen to this podcast will take out of context, and they'll clip this out and they'll only play this clip. If you say that the camaraderie comes with it, people you get sick and tired of seeing every day, so which Atinian, which Blue Eagle did at some point you get tired of seeing each and every single day? Not this guy again. Yes, championship, sure, but not this guy again.
I think they're standing right there. Adrian and Pat, just kidding. But it just happens. Parang nakakasawahan na talaga eh. Like, and as they say, you don't have to like each other to win.
So there's someone, okay, so now we've gone from, you just see them a lot every day. So now we're at you don't like someone. And Adrian and Pat are both nodding. So I know that there's a name out there. We're supposed to save hard-hitting questions for our guests. But since you're walking yourself into this room, Isaac.
I just wanted to build some suspense, but we don't have to give them an answer. Okay. We let them decide. We let them think about who it is.
It's Ange, isn't it? I knew it was Ange. All right, okay. It's Ange. All right, put that in the headlines to all our friends in the sports media. Isaac Go hated Ange the entire time. Time for us to bring in our special guest, Ice.
Definitely, and he's someone who I've been lucky to work out with actually one time where he held a camp and they asked us, I don't remember whether high school or college, but they had us come in and run the drills while he was teaching.
And is there a specific thing you took from that camp, that experience, that maybe stuck with you, whether it's something about life or maybe just something super specific about basketball?
I think it was how detailed he wanted the drill, because it was a very simple drill, and yet he demanded perfection. And when you go into a camp and you ask players to come out, sometimes the players are like, why am I here? Like, I don't have to go hard. We're just demoing. But no, he demanded us to go hard, to demand us to be sharp in everything we did. So that kind of level of detail was what carried me throughout my basketball career after.
Wow. And I guess it's fitting we come full circle. Episode 1 of our new little project with Slam Philippines and Titan, and he's agreed to be our special guest. A treat also for our friends here at Titan Conrad to be, I guess, I mean, they didn't come here for us. I mean, maybe they came here for you.
No.
PBA star, but they definitely did not come here for me. I will tell you, though, you didn't know he was going to be here, but you're going to be glad that you're here, because we want to bring in our special guest. I always get the number wrong, because I mean, I don't think he could blame me, though. I think it's 25 too. I mean, if someone told me it was 35, I'd believe it, because it seems like that's how insane the number is. 25 time PBA champion.
Two Grand Slams, I think. Two?
Just two.
It's something that we can all get.
Just two Grand Slams. Not to mention multiple time Coach of the Year. Not to mention someone who's represented us on the global stage multiple occasions, wearing different hats, and truly one of the best basketball minds the country has ever seen. It is myself and Isaac's great pleasure to bring on the first guest of For Love, the podcast, live here from Titan Conrad, the one and only Coach Tim Cohen, ladies and gentlemen, is here with us today.
Wow. Hi. I didn't expect this. Hey, Isaac. How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Thank Coach you. Tim, thank you very much. Right, we got you right here. Usually it's Isaac that insists on sitting in the middle, but for you, he bowed out. Thanks for making time. We appreciate you being here.
He doesn't need the attention. He's big enough as it is.
That's what I always say. Yeah. Coach Tim, I know it's a busy time for you. You're making time for us today. We greatly appreciate it. How are you personally? I'm not sure when the last time was that someone asked that, but me and Isaac are very, very curious. How are you personally? We'll talk a lot of basketball in a little bit, but we're hoping everything's fine, everything's great. I know that it's a tiring stretch right now.
Well, I think I'm, more than anything, I'm very energized being part of the national team, being part of Gilas, going to Europe, you know, seeing seeing Estonia and Lithuania for the first time in my life, and getting immersed in the culture there, and seeing the basketball. Man, the basketball was cool there. I mean, they, you know, we always talk about how fanatic we are here. I think there's like 5 countries in the world where basketball is the supreme sport. And I believe it's the Philippines, obviously, Lebanon, Serbia, Estonia, and Lithuania. And they are basketball crazy there. And they're huge as well. And I remember being at there was an outdoor court, and I walked by it because I was doing walks, walking around the city. I walked by an outdoor court, and there was like 6 baskets. Every basket was being played on, 4-on-4, 3-on-3. And I mean, guys were sitting there dunking it and screening and sealing down the paint, picking, popping. I mean, these are like 16, 17, 18 year old kids, and they look high level. So it was really invigorating for me, and it was really invigorating for the team to be there.
And I think that's something different, because when you say basketball loving, as you said, it's usually us and some other countries. People wouldn't think about Estonia and Lithuania. But I just wanted to ask you, if you would have to recommend, if everyone asks you, like, if we had to go to Estonia and Lithuania, whether basketball related or not, what would we have to do when we get there?
Well, make sure you go during the summer. Because during the winter, it was really cool, because the first day we got there, it was the summer solstice.
Okay.
So it was the longest day of the year in Tallinn, Estonia. And they had literally 18 minutes and 40 seconds of darkness of the whole day. 18 wow. minutes and 40 seconds. And it happened like at 3 something in the morning. And
wow.
So it was bright, like at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was like it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was amazing. And just certain experiences there. So make sure you go during the summer, because you have long days and it's warm. We were there during the hottest day of the year, and it was like 28 and or 27, and it was the hottest day of the year. And you know, go there during the winter, just the opposite. It's dark all the time, it's freezing cold. So it was great to be there at that time.
So now you know. Coach Tim Cohen is your new Estonia Lithuania tour guide.
I'm the expert.
If ever you need anything, let him know.
People go to Madrid and Spain, I mean, the Paris and London, you know, which I've never been to any of those places. But to go to Estonia, Tallinn, Estonia, and Vilnius, Lithuania, Vilnius with Lithuania was really a treat.
Now, Coach, it's a full circle that you're here at Titan Store. While, as Fats mentioned earlier, we opened the store in 2016, we're refreshing it because it's an important time what Next Door is going to look like in about a month or so. But also specifically to Titan, because, I mean, we're called Titan 22 because Jeff wore 22, and Jeff, one of our founders, he credits a lot of, you know, his basketball success, obviously, to you and, you know, those couple of championships that you won. Oh, just a grand slam with you and that Alaska team. We've had a lot of conversations where you wax near poetic about how much you commend the coaching experience of Jeff, the player. Isaac, though, has, I think, an inverse question, because I know all of the, oh, Jeff is so great stories, but Isaac, I think, has a different type of question about Jeff.
Because, of course, you always have the good side, but also the stuff that you don't let out there. So what would you say is that story with Coach Jeff that no one has ever heard, whether... I think it's going to be primarily bad, because you've always said the good stuff about him. You've praised him a lot. But what would be that one story that you would want to share with everybody here?
I don't know if I want to share it. I don't know.
Now we want it. Now we want it.
I don't know if Jeff would want me to share it. As it happens in the end of players' careers, as a coach, you work really hard to build relationships through the career of a player. Because you have to be able to build that trust, that two-way trust. But you also know as a coach that eventually that relationship is going to end because the career will eventually end. And I've been fortunate to be with a number of generations of players already. I've been in, 34 years now. So, I've coached Peter Aguilar, I've coached Japheth Aguilar, I've coached Irvin Soto, I'm coaching Kai Soto, I'm going through the generations and Peter Aguilar keeps bringing his little baby up to me and saying, this is the next one, and he's like this long and he's like a baby, he's super long, but players' careers will end, and it's always a difficult time for the player. And it's also difficult for the coach because, again, that relationship is ending. So at the end of Jeff's career, he and I had a big battle he had a battle with the Alaska management about his last contract. Mm. And then there was a battle with, playing time at the end. Younger players were stepping up. He was getting a little older and he was getting a little sensitive about that. So we had a big blowout at the end of his career. I would say that he was not real appreciative of me at that point. But, one of the coach's jobs is to bring truth, and as difficult as that truth may be. So we kind of left on bad terms when his career ended. And then when I took over, I left Alaska and went to Pure Foods. I had to bring a staff along, and I was not allowed to bring any of my staff from Alaska. So I sat around thinking, who would be the best guy? Who could be the guy that I could relate to the players? And the name that instantly popped up was Jeff. And Jeff was living in San Francisco, I think it was, or LA, I'm not sure, but he was in California. And so I got on the phone, I called him up, I go, Jeff, this is Tim Cone. And he told me later that he literally almost fell off the chair when he found out it was me. And I said, if you're available, I'd like you to come back and help me coach Pure Foods. And it didn't take him long to say yes. And so that's the story that I think a lot of people don't recognize. And obviously our relationship improved again from there. But it was pretty much dead in the water for a short time after his career was over.
The amazing part about that is you two are such great friends now. I think you go from a mentor to him, obviously as a coach. Now you guys are peers, both PBA head coaches. But I'm lucky enough to be around you guys, in casual situations, and I see just how much respect and love you have for each other as friends, as equals, as peers. To hear a story like that kind of makes me go, oh, okay, it makes sense. There's more to just, championships won at the base of that relationship, and I think that's something that we can all aspire to have.
I just want to say, one of the things I really take as a coach that I learned early in my career, and it's actually a quote from, it's a famous quote that I first heard from him, but I'm sure it was said in previous years, but from Kobe Bryant. And it's the quote of, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you better. And I've always used that. He uses it in terms of, conditioning and having, playing, whatever he has to do to kill himself and that makes him better. But I've always thought of it in terms of teams, in terms of relationships and chemistry. If you can go through the really tough times, and your chemistry doesn't break, your relationship doesn't break totally, then that will just totally make you stronger in the long run. And that's basically what happened with Jeff and I. We had a great relationship during his playing career. It ended poorly. but it didn't destroy our relationship altogether. And when we recovered our relationship, it made that bond and strength even, you know, much stronger than it was previously. And I find that out with as teams, I find that out with relationships with players. You know, it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger.
See, there's still hope for your friendship or your relationship with Anjouame.
I'm going to talk. I have Anj in practice every day. I'm going to tell him you said that. He's going to come looking for you, man.
Oh, man. He misses me, coach.
He's a big boy, that guy. That guy is big. He's doing great, by the way, in Gilas because he's there to chant. We actually picked him up. He can't really play because he's either going to be he's a naturalized player, but we brought him to Europe with us,
right?
And the idea of Coach Chart was he wanted a guy that was going to walk in and challenge Jumar every day in practice, you know, someone who Jumar couldn't bully and knock around,
right?
And you can't knock around Anj, as you know, and so, you know, and that's preparing him for the bigger guys he's going to be playing in the World Cup, because we really don't have anybody locally that really challenges him in terms of strength and size, and Anj is one of those guys that can. And I tell you, Jumar destroyed Europe. He destroyed. There was nobody there who could take him. It was amazing to watch him play in Europe.
Even I remember there were times I'd walk home after practice, I'd sit down after practicing with Anj and be like, damn, I have to do this again tomorrow. And same with June. I remember though, when I played with him in the SEA Games, it was difficult. When June wants to go at you,
he wants to get to his spot. There's really nothing you can do, and the Europeans find that out. He was going against 7-footers, 6'10", 6'11", and he was getting to his spot anytime he wanted. And it was there was a real revelation, and it gives us hope because we need that for the World Cup. We need that kind of guy who can dominate on the inside against, you know, bigger, stronger opponents. And Jumar, as he worked his way back into shape from his injury, just got better and better and better and became a dominant force for us.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for late August. I'm so excited for the World Cup. Coach Tim, obviously there's going to be a lot of conversation about Gilas, about the World Cup, and things like that. You know, while we have you here, I guess the best way for us to maybe maximize your experience and your knowledge with this current team is, maybe I'll phrase it this way. How would you describe that Gilas pool when you guys left for Europe versus how that pool is now after you guys landed and had that experience both on court and off court and having 23-hour sunlit days together? I guess that'll be our Gilas question for this podcast.
Well, I think the number one thing is that when you take a group like that that's representing your country and you go outside the country, there's a sense of purpose. And it's different from being here and just practicing every day. You know, it's hard to keep that big picture in front of you. And, you know, obviously that's our job as coaches, to keep that big picture in front. But it's difficult. It really is difficult. But when you go out of town and you're playing high-level people and you know you got to be at your best or you're going to embarrass yourself and you're going to embarrass your representation to the country, there's an automatic growth that goes along with that, because you are pushing hard from moment one all the way through. We weren't in great shape when we got to Europe. Like I said, Jumar was coming off a serious injury. Japheth was coming off a serious injury. A lot of guys had taken a break because the PBA had been off for a few weeks. And so we just, the first part of it was just really trying to get into shape and compete at a level. And we didn't play as well in our first couple of games, and it was really from a lack of shape. But in the meantime, Coach Chud, you know, to me, I know him really well. He has many skills as a coach, and I think as coaches, we all have strengths and weaknesses. You know, I feel my strength is I'm a chemistry guy. I'm detail oriented. You know, those are my strengths. Weakness of mine is I'm not a real good strategic coach. I rely on a lot of my assistants to help me with strategy and in-game adjustments and things like that. You learn them over the years. You know, I mean, 34 years, you're going to learn a lot of that stuff. So the point I'm making is that Chut has one real, he's strong in many, many areas, but he has one real strong strength, and that is his ability to build teams. He has a true ability to build teams and to get everybody to come in to the room and talk and open themselves up and create trust amongst the players. And so while we were trying to get into shape, all of our evening sessions were, you know, after dinner we go up into a room and we would do exercises, mental exercises, breathing exercises. One day we got up at 4:30 in the morning and did a run, and it was bright sunshine. But it was weird because we came out into the city and it was 4:30 in the morning, it was bright sunshine, but nobody was there. It was like being in a movie set or in the end of the world kind of thing. We were all laughing about it because the lights weren't on. I mean, the lights for the street lights weren't on, nothing. And there were nobody, no cars, no nothing. But anyway, we did. It was all these things that he would do to bring us together and create this team atmosphere. And again, he's really, really good at that. And between that and the fact that we got in shape and we started to understand a little bit, got a little bit more attentive to details, the team just made leaps and bounds of growth from day one. I think we were there for 17 days. Calvin was supposed to be there, but he got hurt. But it was really a true growth experience from all the things. The problem is when we got back, it was all that same old again, and we kind of regressed a little bit. And the coaching staff felt that regression. But the last day or two, guys started to understand that, and now they're picking it up a little bit, and we're playing at a much better, higher level than we were.
I bet that Coach Tim led the run. He was up in the front leading the group. Everybody was trying to chase him.
No, I was at the trail bottom back end. But the good news is I finished. I can honestly say I was the only one of the coaching staff who did the whole run. But I was like an hour behind.
as long as he finished.
They were gone by the time I got back. I was deserted by the time I got back to the finish line.
Did you guys do a 5? You guys ran a 5K, right?
Yeah, it was just a 5K.
A 5K?
But that's impressive, Coach. But still, as the only coach to finish it.
Yeah, well, I was doing walking and running when I was there, so I was a little better shape than everybody else. But yeah, I walked. I did it. I got behind the first kilometer. I was with the guys. The second kilometer, I could kind of see them. By third kilometer, they were gone. And then by the time, then they were coming back at me, and I was like getting out of the way of everybody running back at me. I got all the way up, came all the way back down. The whole team was gone, but Chut and Jung were sitting there on the bridge looking at me, waiting for me to come back. So they waited for me, and then we walked back to the hotel. It was kind of a cool experience.
This is how teams are built. This is a blueprint. This is a cheat code to how teams are built.
4:30 a.m. runs?
4:30 a.m. Get up at 4:30. We had to walk to the river. We ran along the river. It's a big river in Kaunas. And we ran straight out and then ran back along the river.
I'm surprised no one fell in the river.
I think people were ready to jump in there, but man, I tell you, it was pretty cold that time of the morning.
So does Calvin owe you 5K, Coach?
Yeah,
he owes you 5 kilometers, right?
He and Ray and Roger.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be there.
We'll make sure they pay up. We'll make sure Calvin runs the 5K pretty soon, and then shows it to everyone. Coach Tim, again, I said your time is extremely valuable. We appreciate you being here. I'll let you get one last question in before we let the great Tim Cohn go.
And you talked about that the bigger picture by going abroad, and the guys got it. But what about the other? What if the other teams start to come here, and what are they going to experience? What do they have to get ready for? Because you probably know as much as anyone how big the basketball atmosphere is and how crazy the fans get, especially you, Coach Ginebra, which is basically Gilas at this point. I mean, to an extent.
I mean, no, I mean, in terms of fan support, I think is what I say. The only team that has more fans than Ginebra is Gilas. Yeah. That we can say for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah. I think the teams are going to come in. I think some of the teams are, you know, especially the Asian teams, they kind of have a feel for what it's like here. But the teams coming from Europe, you know, as much as they're basketball crazy in Serbia and Lithuania, it's not the same fan level as here. They like to play the game, but they don't have the fan support that we have here. And I think that's just going to blow people away. I think, you know, Spo has a little bit of feel for it, but guys like Steve Kerr and the guys coming over here, they're not going to realize how big a rock stars they're going to be when they get here. You know, I mean, it's not going to be the Steph Curry or the Kevin Durant or, you know, the LeBron James that's going to be walking in here. But I tell you what, everybody's going to know who Ingram is and Brunson and those guys are actually stars in the NBA now. All those guys on that team are the stars of their team, but they're just not the household names. But I'm sure every fan here is going to know who they are, and they're going to be rock stars walking around. You know, I just think the atmosphere is going to be one that's going to be tremendous. I can't imagine how it's going to be logistically, you know, in terms of the nightmare that boss Al Panillo has to go through to coordinate this whole thing. And I mean, it's just an amazing thing that's going on. And we want it as a team to go off really well, just the whole tournament to go off well, because we want to have the opportunities like this. If it doesn't go off well, maybe we won't be able to do it again.
Right.
But this is basically a once in a lifetime thing. And or once every 20 years or 25 years or something like that. So, man, let's make the best of it and be excited about the guys coming in. These players are really good, and as we learned in Lithuania and Estonia, the coaching is out of this world. You're going to have some tremendous coaching, and that's what invigorates me personally, is being around these people and watching them and seeing what they do and how they do it. It's exciting.
And, you know, as Gilas fans, as someone who's worn the Gilas jersey and will in the future again, I think that we're extremely excited that, you know, we're going to be able to put our best foot forward. And a whole lot of that is because of our talented players, because of the incredible leadership of Coach Schott that you talked about. But also, I think it's important to say a whole lot of our confidence in this thing going right is because Coach Tim Cohen is on that bench as well and on these trips and running those 5Ks and finishing them. Take that, rest of the coaching staff. So, Coach Tim, we appreciate you making time. Thank you very much for doing this, and we wouldn't have wanted any other better first guest on our new project than you. Coach Tim Cohen, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here, and good luck to Titan. I've been around them since the beginning, because Jeffrey was with me at the beginning, and he was here. So I've been coming in and out. This is my son's favorite store, the only one he will go to. He won't buy shoes anywhere else but in Titan. Of course, we go to the one in Audubon, because that's near our house.
Well, whatever you need there, we got it for you. Thank you very much,
Coach
Tim. Coach Tim, ladies and gentlemen.